deadly Washington mudslide.
We have discovered 4 additional fatalities.
More debris sightings in plain search.
There are new leads, but nothing conclusive.
Busy ship channel closed.
A significant amount of oil is now offshore.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. No signs of life in the muddy debris that used to be a neighborhood about an hour north of Seattle. 8 are known dead, others unaccounted for.
We will be continuing with our effort to try to find any additional folks that may be out there.
Fire Chief Travis Hott says about 30 homes were destroyed in the Saturday slide. Reed Miller's adult son is among the missing.
Poor guy. If he's dead, he could be even buried under 10 feet of mud.
Washington's governor calls it a square mile of total devastation and says everything will be done to find victims. Several people were critically hurt and dozens are homeless.
Many of those looking for answers have come here.
There's folks that we're working with that are looking for people.
A middle school about 20 minutes from the scene of the slide has now become a shelter for the Red Cross.
They want information. They want to help. They're asking for different types of help.
Chad Beekler with the Red Cross says the shelter here will remain open as long as rescue and recovery efforts continue. Brandy Cruz for CBS News near Arlington, Washington.
Now overseas, CBS's Steve Futterman tells us there have been new debris discoveries in the hunt for the missing Malaysian jetliner.
It has been a day of numerous sightings. Now officials want to get their hands on some of the debris and find out if it's from the missing jetliner. The latest sighting was announced by Malaysia's transport minister at the daily briefing here in Kuala Lumpur.
The prime minister received a call from the prime minister of Australia, who informed him that an Australian search aircraft had located 2 objects, 1 circular and 1 rectangular.
An Australian Navy ship is now racing to the area to pick up the items.
The objects could be received within the next few hours or by tomorrow morning.
There's a sense of urgency to get the items as soon as possible as weather conditions are expected to deteriorate. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Kuala Lumpur.
Ukraine ordered the rest of its troops out of Crimea today as Russian forces tighten their stranglehold on the region that was annexed by Moscow last week. CBS's Cammie McCormick in Kiev has more on what happened at a major Marine base.
The Russian troops forced their way into the base early today using stun grenades and automatic weapons. The Ukrainian flags have now been taken down. This was one of the last Ukrainian military installations still flying its flags.
The situation in Ukraine has jumped to the forefront of the agenda on President Obama's overseas trip. He's in the Netherlands now, and so is our White House correspondent, Peter Mayer.
Right, Steve. In fact, this crisis will dominate every stop of the president's European visit this week. This morning, he set the tone for his crisis talks with allied leaders.
Europe and America are united in our support of the Ukrainian government and the Ukrainian people. We're united in imposing a cost on Russia for its actions so far.
The emergency G7 meeting later today here in The Hague is expected to produce a tough statement on those Russian actions. But, Steve, some European countries with strong economic ties to Moscow could be reluctant to impose painful sanctions on the broader Russian economy.
Well, the U.S. military is mobilizing to find a fugitive African warlord. We're live at the Foreign Desk with CBS's Vicky Barker.
There have been U.S. Special Forces helping the hunt for Joseph Kony since 2010, but this latest deployment includes Osprey aircraft capable of vertical as well as conventional takeoffs and landings. Retired Marine Colonel Brendan Kearney.
It really will give a range to the operations in terms of where you'd be looking for this guy.
For years, Kony's Lord's Resistance Army has spread terror, mutilation, and death across much of Central Africa. It's also kidnapped thousands of children, using them as soldiers and sex slaves. Steve?
A court in Egypt has convicted and sentenced 529 supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi to death on charges related to the deadly protest violence that led to Morsi's overthrow. Appeals are likely. CBS's Alex Ortiz is in Cairo.
Egypt's prisons and police stations are packed with thousands of Muslim Brotherhood members and supporters, but there have also been liberal activists and politicians who've been caught up in the sweeping crackdown on really any form of dissent.
32 people on board were hurt when a commuter train derailed early this morning at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Officials say the train did not stop at a station, careened onto a sidewalk, upstairs, and an escalator. The normally busy Houston Ship Channel is closed after the spill of around 170,000 gallons of oil in the Gulf of Mexico. It happened when a barge collided with a ship on Saturday. The Coast Guard's Andy Kendrick says it's not known when the channel will reopen.
We've got over 60,000 feet of boom that's out there. protecting environmentally sensitive areas, as well as containing the oil and trying to get it into places where we can recover it.
25 years ago today, an environmental disaster began to unfold when the Exxon Valdez tanker hit an Alaskan reef and spilled what would amount to 11 million gallons of oil. Here's reporter Carrie Anderson.
The crude oil tainted hundreds of miles of Alaska shoreline, injuring and killing countless thousands of creatures, from tiny fishes to killer whales, and from shorebirds to bald eagles. Marine scientist Rick Steiner has studied the effects of the oil spill since 1989.
Most of the injured fish and wildlife populations and habitats have not fully recovered, and some that the government monitor are not recovering at all.
25 years later, some oil lingers just beneath the surface on some beaches. On the bright side, Steiner says, oil tanker safety has improved in Alaska's Prince William Sound. Carrie Anderson for CBS News, Anchorage.
The rising price of ethanol used in gas production is driving up costs for us at the pump.
Gasoline prices moved up a nickel in the past 2 weeks to $3.56 for regular. That's a total of 26 cents over 6 weeks.
Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg. China says it's gravely concerned about allegations U.S. intelligence agencies hacked email servers of a technology company. And top government officials and offices, reports citing leaks from Edward Snowden, say the tech firm has been targeted for the last 5 years. Well, after the first three rounds of the NCAA college basketball tournament, there are no more perfect brackets.
For the win! No good! Unbeaten! No more!
And perfection is over for Wichita State, suffering its first loss of the season, ousted by Kentucky on Westwood One Radio. Number 2 Kansas also lost yesterday. So did a number 3 seed Creighton. Top seeds Arizona and Virginia advanced. Post 9/11 vets are in Washington this week to press lawmakers to do more to stem the tide of military suicides.
With an estimated 22 veterans taking their own lives every day, advocates say more mental health professionals are desperately needed.
We don't have enough in this country, and right now there's over 1,000 mental health care jobs open at the VA.
And Tom Tarantino of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America says more should be done to erase the stigma of seeking treatment.
If you got shot in the chest, you wouldn't walk around with a bullet hole in your chest. You'd go to the doctor and you'd get it fixed up. And it's the same for mental health injuries.
He says studies show when people do seek care, it does help. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
His face was a familiar one to TV and movie audiences. Character actor James Rebhorn, who's died at 65. He was the prosecutor in the series finale of Seinfeld, Secretary of Defense in Independence Day, and more recently played Claire Danes' father in Homeland. That's the roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.